Sechte Tainis, da viel beis mir alef, teist wie maskel, kol Tainis, loi shoko, lov chama, loi shmei Tainis. The Gemara quotes the statement of Rav Chista, that any fast day did not have the sun literally set on it, meaning that a person didn't fast until sunset, or perhaps three stars, after the Banish Masha's twilight Suffolk period. So it's not considered a fast day. Simply speaking, not with respect to Anenu, the tefillah of the fast day, nor with respect to if someone had taken upon himself a vow to fast, whether he is Yotze with that or not. Before we start the Tosfos, just to recall that on Yud Aleph Mabez, the Gemara had quoted a halachic story that Mar Ukva had visited the town of Ginzik, and they asked him three shilas. One was about Nisanin Lishos, whether one could fast for several hours, whether that's considered a fast or not. One is with respect to Kankan and Shel Nochrim, storage utensils of non-Jewish wine. To what extent can they be used by Jews subsequently? And the third was with respect to Moshe Rabbeinu serving in the Mishkan during the Shivas Yimei Miluim, the seven inaugural days, when Moshe Rabbeinu served as the Kohen, and Aaron and his son served as the, so to speak, like the Baalim, as the owners of the Karbonos, and Moshe Rabbeinu was serving as the Kohen. So the assumption is that he didn't wear Big Day Kahuna, because he wasn't actually a Kohen, so what did he use for his service? And the Gemara answer is that he served in a Cholok Lovon, Shein Bo Imra, some kind of white garment that did not have a trim on it. So this Gemara, the story with Mar Ukva, is also quoted in Masechta Avodah Zarah. There it was brought concerning the non-Jewish wine barrels, and Bederech Agav brings the other two. Our Gemara quotes it with respect to Taina Shos, the fast day for several hours, and Derech Agav brings the other two. So now Tosis, putting this all together, comments that all of these things, both the idea of the fact that you have to have Shkiyas Hachama, or the end of the day, in order for the fast to count, the statement of Rav Chista, and those statements of Mar Ukva, specifically the ones not dealing with wine, concerning both Taina Shos and the Moshe Rabbeinu's garment during the Shivas Yimei Miluim. So Tosis writes, Perashti b'Masechta Avodah Zarah, Perek Ein Mamidin. I explained this in Masechta Avodah Zarah in the second perek, Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, concerning the import of the statement of the need for Shkiyas Hachama with respect to a fast day, V'chein B'cholok She'ein Lo Imra, and as well as the answer that was given to the question that they asked Mar Ukva concerning Moshe Rabbeinu's garment, the white garment without the fringe. Hirashti Hasam, I explained it over there as well. And here they slightly changed the girsa on the margin of the Ozvahadar from Perash to Pirashti and then from Vechol to Vechain. Vechain Apsak, the Misanin Lishos. As well as the other issue that was asked of Mar Ukva, which had been discussed earlier by Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav in Ar Masechta on the Fyur Alpha Mabez. So all those things are discussed there. Just very briefly, there is a big debate in the Rishonim as to how to put all these things together. The concept of Taina Shos, which the Gemara concludes on Yer Aleph Mabez, is a valid form of a fast day, as Rashi explains with respect to Anenu. And the top statement that we have on our page, which is also a statement of Rav Chista, that a Taina Shos is only meaningful if you don't taste. And we have two different girsos, either the whole day or till the evening. And then we have the statement of Chista, that a fast day is only valid if you go till the end of the day. So at first glance, a lot of these statements seem contradictory, because if a Taina Shos is valid, so that should mean that if I fast, let's say, from dawn until Chatzos, until midday, that should be called a valid fast. But on the other hand, we have the statement of Rav Chista that provided you didn't eat till the end of the day. So that seems to negate the notion of Taina Shos. And then we have Rav Chista's statement that you have to, again, fast till the end of the day, kol Taina Shalosh Akalov Chama, lav Shmei Tainis, also seems to negate the idea of Taina Shos. So the different approaches in the Rishonim, about which Tosfos and Masechta Avodah Zarah take a stance on that debate. The three basic approaches that are taken, just a quick summary, is the approach that is already mentioned here by Rashi, which is also discussed by the Ran on the Rif, that basically a Taina Shos is somewhat of a misnomer. The reality is you're fasting the whole day from dawn till the night, but it's called a Taina Shos because the Kabbalah, the acceptance of the fast day, only took place in the middle of the day. So a person de facto is fasting the first part of the day, and then they accept the latter part of the day as a fast. So the acceptance of the fast was only a Taina Shos, but in reality you're fasting the whole day. Another version of that is discussed by the Ran, where you accepted upon yourself a fast day, let's say on Sunday, for a half day on Monday, from dawn till midday. And then you didn't stop at midday, you went all the way till the end. Bottom line, you fasted all day, but there was only an acceptance of a fast for part of the day, either the first half of the day or the latter half of the day. That's one approach in the Rishonim that a Taina shows, again, it's really somewhat of a misnomer, it's not just fasting for part of the day. The Rambam holds that even if you ate for the first part of the day and you accepted the second part of the day as a fast day, that is also considered a valid fast, even though the fast was only, literally, for some hours of the day, but it went till the end. According to that approach, just fasting the first part of the day would not be valid. However, the Talmud Yerushalmi seems to verify both kinds of fasts, even if you didn't fast the entire day, namely if you fasted, let's say, the first part of the day or the latter part of the day, even though you ate in the other part. So Tosfos, very briefly, in Masechta Avodah Zarah, that we have recorded, which is not the author of our Tosfos and Masechta Tainis, but of course the different Balei Tosfos oftentimes tend to reflect the same ideas. So there, that main approach that's taken there in Masechta Avodah Zarah is consistent with Yerushalmi, that you could fast even part of the day and it's still considered a fast. So how you resolve the various Gemaras here about Shkia Sachama and the fact you have to fast the entire day. So that's what Tosfos deals with there, which we're not going to deal with further now. This is also discussed at length by the Rosh and the Mordechai here in our Masechta. Concerning the Chaluk Shein Lo Imra, the Tosfos there in Masechta Avodah Zarah quotes three Perushim. One interpretation is that it didn't have some kind of hem or trim in order that it should look newer and thus guarantee that it wasn't used by a hedjot by anybody before Moshe Rabbeinu used it. A second pshat he quotes the name of Moshe, who could be the author of the Smag or Moshe Mikusi, that they deliberately didn't put a trim on it, which is what you would do for a more permanent garment. So they made it look less permanent to indicate that it wasn't that they found some kind of mum or defect than Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather Aaron HaKohen was destined to be the Kohen all along, and therefore they deliberately used the garment that seemed temporary. And finally, he suggests the gears to change from Imra with an Aleph to Ayin, and Imra with an Ayin would mean wool in Aramaic, and that it was all linen, and it did not have wool, that Moshe Rabbeinu's garments, not being true big de kahuna, were not allowed to have shatnas. Either way, the common denarity in all these Perushim is not like the pshat quoted by Rashi, which Rashi himself rejects, is that the reason it didn't have a hem in it was in order that people shouldn't be choshe, they shouldn't suspect that Moshe Rabbeinu was hiding money in it. Rashi points out that pshat doesn't make any sense because the Mishkan had already been completed. So where would he hide money in a garment that he was utilizing in order to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the days of the Miluim? Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu would never dream of doing that, but to be above suspicion, that was the suggested pshat. But again, Rashi rejects it, and clearly by implication, Tosfos by giving those three interpretations are also rejecting. So now back to our Tosfos. Tosfos in the second part now concludes as follows, after explaining what he doesn't explain here and cross-references to Masechta Avodah Zarah. So three lines from the bottom, again following the gears to change on the margin of the Oz V'Hodr, in the middle of the third line, not Dichol, but Vichol, because it doesn't really connect to the above. V'chol Tainis Sarach L'Kavlo Mi Be'erev, V'Tfilas HaMincha. Now Tosfos just rules Halach L'Maisa, that every fast, one is required to accept it in the previous day, at Tfilah Samincha, B'Shomei HaTfilah, and the Bracha of Shomei HaTfilah, V'Emu Shabbos, B'Lakai Netzor. And if it's Shabbos where there is no Shomei HaTfilah, and one wants to fast on Sunday, so the Kabbalah's Tainis would be in the Tachanunim, at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, beginning at Lakai Netzor L'Shon HaMirah. Now it also says, the Nosach that you state, V'Tzorach Shiyomar, and he has to say, L'Machar Ha'yeh B'Tainis Yochid, tomorrow I will observe a private fast day. The reason to add the word Yochid is Ki Hechi, in order that the lekelimiti b'tainis sibur, that one should make a mistake that he is accepting upon himself the stringency of a tainis sibur. Just to give a little extra background on that, so the Gemara quotes on the next Amud on Yud Beis Amud Beis a statement of Rav Kana in the name of Rav that yochid shekibul of tainis, that an individual who accepts a fast day upon himself osir ben ilas a sandal, that he's not allowed to wear shoes chashin on shema tainis sibur kibul of, that since he didn't specify that he's accepting a tainis yochid, so we're concerned that maybe he had in mind the stringencies of a tainis sibur. What are the stringencies of a tainis sibur? So as we see in the various Mishnayos concerning the latter fast days for rain or other fast days discussed later on in the Masechta for other tzaros, so a tainis sibur you have the five inuim similar to Tisha B'Av, which you're not allowed to wear shoes, and it's also b'tashma mita, b'sicha, rechitza. So a person who didn't specify there's a tainis yachid, Rav Kana states in the name of Rabbi Rav, that we have to suspect that maybe he had in mind the extra stringencies. So therefore the Gemara concludes in the name of Rabbi Barav Sheila, so in order to avoid that doubt, so one should say l'machar hei l'fanecha b'tainis yachid, that I have in mind the tainis yachid, and therefore the only prohibitions for him will be eating and drinking. So that's what Tosfos summarized over here, that one should say, hey, b'tainis yochid. So the Rosh and other Rishonim point out that Since the Gemara states on Yud Aleph and Mebeis, as well as Yud Beis and Mebeis, in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, that any Taina Sibur of Bavel, Ela Tisha B'Av Levad, that in Bavel there's no Taina Sibur with all of those stringencies, except for Tisha B'Av, then one really doesn't have to be careful about that anymore. Even if someone says, I am fasting tomorrow, a Hei B'Tainus without the word Yochid, so then he will only have to not eat and drink, and will not be bound by the other stringencies. Nonetheless, the Rosh quotes in the Rav Yoh that it's still a good idea to say Tainus Yochid to clarify with absolute certainty that he didn't have in mind the stringencies of Tainus Sibur. So it could be that that's what Tosis is referring to here, that extra stringency, not necessarily insisting that if you didn't say it, that you would actually be usher in the other inuyim, the other forms of deprivation. The Gemara, in asking on the statement of Rav Chisda that in order for a fast day to be considered a fast day, you have to fast till the end of the day, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, quoting Rabbi Elazar ber Tzadik, that he was a descendant of Sana. We have Sanov. They changed the gears to the Sanov, which aligns itself with what it says in Sefer Ezra. That he was a descendant of Sanov and Binyamin, and that family had, when the Beis HaMikdash was around, had dedicated wood to the Mikdash on the 10th day of Av. Every year, they celebrated the 10th of Av as a holiday because of that dedication of the wood to the Mikdash. So once, when Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos and was pushed off to Sunday, so since they had a conflict between the Tisha B'Av Nidcha that was pushed off, everyone was fasting, and they had a holiday on the 10th of Av, so they fasted part of the day, because Yom Tov Shalonahu, because it was our private holiday. From here, the post can discuss that if you have a Mila, a private holiday, that's on the 10th of Av, so you follow that model, where the various inner circle people of the Mila don't have to fast the whole day. The details are in Shulchan Aruch. So the Gemara said, you see from here that it must be considered a fast day, even though you don't fast the whole day. So the Gemara says that was a tzu'urei nafshei ba'alma. It was only to cause pain. And Rashi explains, together with the tzibur. It really wasn't a fast day. It wasn't really an obligation. Anytime they wanted to eat, they could eat, and they wouldn't be able to say anenu. Again, that I think we paskin that you do say anenu at mincha, and then you break your fast. That touches upon what we said earlier in terms of to what extent is a tainus show. It's called a tainus even if you don't fast the whole day, with respect at least to saying anenu. So again, the Gemara is telling us that it wasn't really a fast day. In order to really be a fast day, you have to fast till the end of the day. So Natosis is the following implicit kasha. Even though the Gemara Shana Daf Yuches Mem Beis tells us that once the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, so all the minor holidays that are recorded in the literally scroll of Megillas Tainis, Rashi explains, because that was one of the early writings of the Torah Sheval Peh, the only thing that was written down, everything else had to be done orally. That's why it's called the Megillah. So all of those minor holidays were abolished, except for Chanukah and Purim. And then Tosfos continue, V'hayuvda de Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, Hayel Achar HaChorban. And this story must have been after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. How do we know? The Kodem HaChorban, because if it occurred before the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, Amrinan, so we have that same Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Kevan Shiyeh Shalom, Ain't Shom, and here the Bach changes the Girsa, Ain't Shom Tzom. If there's peace, which the Rishonim explain is defined as when there's a Mikdash, so there is no fasting, meaning that they didn't commemorate the fast day of Tisha B'Av during the first Beis HaMikdash, which is of course what we would assume. So putting it all together, what is Tosis's implicit question? So, if, as we see from the fact that they were fasting on Tisha B'Av, this must have taken place after destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, because had it been during the time that the second Beis HaMikdash was still around, they wouldn't be fasting on Tisha B'Av. So now, if it was after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that all the minor holidays don't apply anymore. So why was Rav Elazar ben Tzadik commemorating this dedication that his family dedicated the wood to the Mikdash, but the Mikdash wasn't around anymore, and that holiday of celebration shouldn't apply anymore? That's Tosis's implicit question. Tosis answers with five words: Hai Tana Savar de Lo Batla. This Tana holds, namely Rav Elazar ben Tzadik, that the minor holidays still apply. As they point out on the margin in the Oz V'Hadar, that same Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Yurches and Beis that Tosis quote to indicate that the holidays were nullified actually caused some machlokes tanoim. Rabbi Yossi holds that they were nullified, and Rav Meir holds that they were not nullified. So we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, but this Rav Elazar ben Tzadik is following the view of Rav Meir that they were not nullified, and therefore he was keeping up that holiday even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. One of the Mefarshim in the back, the Mitzvah Eson in the Yalkut Mefarshim, has a fascinating proof from the Rosh, the beginning of Perek Mokum Shenogu in Masechta Pesachim, who seems to disagree with this Tosis. And he seems to maintain that halacha l'maisa, those who knew that they're from this family would keep up that holiday even nowadays. So he has an interesting treatment of the fact that in Megillas Tainis itself, it describes various minor holidays for various salvations that occurred primarily in the days of the second Beis HaMikdash. It has 12 chapters, one for each month from Nisan through Adar, but it doesn't count the minor holidays of the celebration of various families that brought the wood, which is recorded in the Mishnayos at the beginning of the fourth perek of our Masechta. It only records one of them, which was the most major of the wood dedication holidays for the Mizbeach. That's the 15th of Av. But it doesn't quote all the others. So what he suggests is that Tosfos is assuming that those minor celebrations for dedicating the wood to the Mizbeach follow the model of Megillas Tainis. And just like all the holidays in Megillas Tainis are nullified, so too these holidays will be nullified. But the Rosh would maintain that no, that perhaps these holidays were actually meant a Torah during the days of the Mikdash. Because when you bring a carbon, the day is a holiday, perhaps even meant a Torah. Again, he quotes various sources on that. And therefore, even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so we'll at least be binding on a rabbinic level. As opposed to the holidays of Megillas Tainis, which are older Rabbanan, therefore, after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, time of sadness, so those rabbinic holidays would be nullified totally. The Gemara, to recall, quotes a machlokes in Rav and Shmuel as to when one is supposed to be makabel, accept the fast day. Rav says mincha, meaning the time of mincha, and Shmuel says betfilas mincha. Discussion in Rishonim as to what the debate exactly is. Let's go with a simple approach, even though Rashi does not directly imply this, the approach of the Ran, that according to Rav, it's done at the time of mincha before the fast day, or any time before that, also could be done in a previous day. And according to Shmuel, the tafk has to be done the afternoon before, and according to some Rishonim, actually during the davening. Others say it's not crucial that it be during the davening, but it has to be in that window of that time frame of the mincha slot before the fast day begins. So the Gemara records a brisa in Megillas Tainis, which states that anyone who had accepted a fast day before the days of Megillas Tainis arrive, so we have here two girsos. Kol inish the yese aloi mikadmas dana, someone who accepted a fast day before the holiday of Megillas Tainis arrives. So one gear says yesar, yud yud samach resh. And the other girsa is yeyoser. So the Gemara points out that according to Shmuel, that you have to accept it in the previous day's mincha, so he will have the girsa of yesar. And Rav, who holds that you don't have to accept it in the previous day's mincha, he will have the girsa of yeyoser. It will be prohibited already, not yesar. What is this mysterious word yesa? So Rashi interprets to mean he shall prohibit himself. The version we have in our Gemara states, "My love yesa atzmo b'tzlo." Doesn't it mean that he should prohibit himself in prayer? Exactly like Shmuel, that the word yesa is an active word that he should prohibit himself in prayer. But Rashi explains, with some elaborations from the Ran and his commentary on the Rift, that let's say, for example, the 12th day of Adar is one of the minor holidays mentioned in Megillas Tainis. It's called Yom Turianus, when a Greek general who was threatening to harm the Jewish people was killed. So someone at some point beforehand had committed that he was going to fast on the 12th day of Adar, and then the 12th day of Adar is about to arrive. So the girsa of Yesar, which the Gemara suggests means Yesar but slow, would mean, according to Rashi's interpretation, that since he already had committed to fast on that day, so on the 11th, on Erev, the 12th, at Tfilas HaMincha, he should commit to fast on that day and be Mekabel Tainis. Because since he had already committed to fast before the holiday came, so we urge him to accept his fast day and fulfill his prior commitment, and that would override the festive nature of the day. So that, of course, would be a raya to Shmuel, that you're supposed to accept a fast during Tfilas HaMincha. So the Gemara is docha, that perhaps the correct girsa is not Yesar, but Yeoser, that it's already Aser, but even though he didn't accept it in Tfilas HaMincha, again, according to the Ran's interpretation, works more smoothly. Rashi perhaps goes a little bit differently, that since he committed at some point beforehand that he was going to fast on that day, that's already binding, even though it wasn't done at Tfilas HaMincha right beforehand. So, yay Aser, it's already Aser by itself. This is the pshat that Rashi gives. So, Tosis gives a different interpretation. I'll explain it in accordance with what I saw in the Oz V'Hodor, that basically it's going with Rashi's approach in terms of the interpretation of Ye Oser, but it's giving a different interpretation from Rashi in terms of what the word Yesar means. We begin the Tosis. Ye Oser Pirish. Ye Oser Ba'Aleph, with the letter Aleph as opposed to two Yuds. Yud Aleph, opposed to Yud Yud. So, Havi Lashon Oser. It's already Oser. She Oser Atzmo. He already prohibited himself for that day, meaning that he has to fast. And that that would be consistent with the view of Rav, that prohibition need not be done in tefillah. Perhaps even could be done several days in advance, according to the Ran's interpretation. What about the other girsa of Yesar, which the Gemara attributed to Shmuel? The Yesar havi lashon hasara, not a language of he shall prohibit it in prayer, but rather it is removed. Kelomar, meaning yasur min haneder, that his vow to fast should not be binding, should be removed, and therefore he should celebrate the holiday of the Megillas Tainis. And therefore he will be allowed to eat the next day. Meaning the example we gave, let's say, which is Yud Beis Adar, so, and Yud Aleph Adar, he is not going to accept the Tainis in Tefillah, and therefore will be mutter to eat the next day. Shiyeh Yom Tov, that will be a Yom Tov, aimless Sanos, and he shouldn't fast that day. So, a little bit unclear how Tosis interprets the Gemara. Why shouldn't he have to accept it in tefillah and make it aser? So it sounds like that what Tosis is indicating is that, unlike Rashi Pshat, just because he committed to fast on the 12th of Adar, in our example, but since you require a Kabbalah right before the fast day in order for it to be binding, namely on the eve of the 12th, on the afternoon of the 11th, he has to accept it at Mincha, so the recommended course of action is don't accept at Mincha and don't be bound by your vow, and therefore conform with the rest of the Tzibur and celebrate the 12th of Adar as the holiday. Since, according to Shmuel, there's a need to accept it in Tefillah of Mincha right before the fast day, and if you don't do that, then the fast day is not binding, so you have an option to be able to not accept it, even though you had previously committed to fast on that day, but unless you actually makabel it, it's not binding, and this way you'll be able to celebrate that minor holiday in the Megillas Tainis. According to Rav, on the other hand, we don't have to accept it in the Tfilas Mincha. You just have to accept it at Mincha. Again, the simplest understanding would be, in accordance with the Ran, at some point, and even if it's not done right beforehand. So therefore, you're stuck, because he already had committed to fast, and even though he didn't accept it at Mincha, but it's still binding, and therefore, yei oser. So that holiday is prohibited for you to eat on, and therefore you are bound by your neder. Totally different interpretation in terms of the meaning of yesar from that of Rashi, and indeed of most Rishonim who interpret this Gemara like Rashi. So what emerges, and this is what some of the Achronim point out in the back, in the Alkut Mefarshim, is that Tosfos clearly had a different girsa in our Gemara. Because our girsa, which Rashi also clearly had, is my lav yesar atzmo bitzlo. Doesn't the word yesar mean that he should prohibit himself in prayer? So clearly, according to that has nothing to do with hasara of Tosfos, of removal. Adrabba, that's the language of prohibition, that he should bind himself, he should be mekabel on himself to fast in prayer. So how could Tosfos say that yesar means to remove? So it must be that Tosfos didn't have those words, my lav yesar atzmo bitzlo. He must have had something like my lav yesar, meaning that the fast day will be removed from him and that he will not be bound by it since he didn't accept it in tefillah. Just a quick summary. The Gemara says that according to Shmuel, the proper girsa is yesar. According to Rav, the proper girsa is yeoser. So everyone agrees that yeoser means that according to Rav, since he has less requirements in terms of a formal acceptance, so therefore once he already committed to fast, nothing could help him, and therefore he is going to be bound to fast and he's not going to be able to keep the minor holiday. It is prohibited. Yeoser. According to Shmuel, the girsa of yesar. So for Rashi, we ask him to proactively accept it in the mincha before the holiday, which is going to become for him a fast day. And according to Tosfos, yesar means we tell him not to accept it in the tefillah, and as a result of that, the fast day will be removed from him, and therefore he will celebrate. The Gemara quotes an additional brisa from Megillas Tainis that if the gzeira of Megillas Tainis of a particular holiday was already ordained before this particular person vowed, so his vow is not binding because the takana of Megillas Tainis is going to override his vow. The language of the Gemara quoted by Tosfos, Yitcha Nidro Mipnei Gzeirasenu, that his vow should be pushed aside in deference to the takana of the holiday that already had been made earlier. And of course, vice versa, that if his nether came before the holiday was declared, so then his nether would be binding. So Tosfos now quote a machlokus between Rashi and the Ri as to how exactly to interpret this idea of the fact that the minor holiday of the Megillas Tainis is overriding his nether. Omer Rashi Yitre Nidro Mikol V'Kol, that his nether should be pushed off totally. Velo yashlim also tainis. The term yashlim sometimes could mean not to complete, in which case this would mean to fast a half a day. From the continuation of Tosis, in contrast to the view of the Ri, it's clear that here Tosis is taking it to mean that he doesn't have to make it up, that his nether is totally null and void, even though he committed, let's say, to fast on let's say, Yud Beis Adar, in the example we gave earlier. So even though he's going to be celebrating Yud Beis Adar, he doesn't have to make up the fast day on a different day. Lo yashlim also tainis in the language of hashlama, of makeup, like to be mashlim a tefillah that you missed. So now Tos quotes the Ri who had a doubt about that. The Ri mesubik b'dover. The Ri has a doubt. V'yesh lahachmir. The dafka oso yom lo yisana. I want you to be stringent that only that day, meaning the day of that holiday, one shouldn't fast. Lo yashlim also liyom. Here we have different girsos. Liyom mochar. The Bach has liyom acher. Nafkamina where the dafka has to fast the next day or some day of his choosing. So now Tos has another point. Lahalacha. About fasting on festive occasions. V'chein yesh lizor shlos anes v'rosh chodesh v'chanukah v'purim. One should be careful not to fast on Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah and Purim. D'mei elu v'adai lo batl megillas tainis. Because concerning those three, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim, even though Tosis in the two Tosin earlier had quoted a debate whether batl megillas tainis or not, whether those minor holidays listed in the megillas tainis still apply, but v'chanukah and Purim, as the Gemara Rosh Hashanah points out, megillas tainis is still binding, as well as Rosh Chodesh, on which you're not allowed to fast. From these, for sure, the Megillah Stein is still binding. It's somewhat curious that Tosis puts Rosh Chodesh together with the other two. Rosh Chodesh, according to many Rishonim, is an Issa Min HaTorah to fast. And even if you hold that it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan on Rosh Chodesh, but Lechora, at first glance, has nothing to do with Megillah Stein. Lechora, it's somewhat Lav Dafka that Tosis lumped them all together. But either way, you're not allowed to fast on those 3 days, so you have to be careful not to fast on them because it's prohibited to fast. I wanted to go back for a moment just to discuss the language of the Ri. The Ri says he has a doubt as to maybe have to make up the fast day when a holiday overrides it. So the Ri writes, V'yesh la'achmir, it should be machmir that you should make it up. What is he talking about? Nowadays, there is no Megillas Tainis anymore because we paskin batl Megillas Tainis. So it could be that that's exactly that what Tosis means is relevant to the second part of Tosis. What Tosis says, you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh, you're not allowed to fast on Chanukah, you're not allowed to fast on Purim. So what happens if you took a neder to yes, fast on those days? So the Psak of our Gemara, of course, concerning Megillas Tainis, is that if the original Takana to celebrate those days came before his neder, so his neder is not binding. According to Rashi, it's not binding at all. So then you wouldn't have to do a makeup day. According to the Ri, if you took a neder to fast on Chanukah, Purim, or according to what Tosis puts together, Rosh Chodesh, it would appear that those fasts have to be made up on a different day. And that's the Yesh L'Hachmir. Perhaps another possible explanation of the words of the Ri are as follows. The Gemara records on Yud Amud Aleph that the fast days of the Yechidim, that the very great Talmid HaChachamim, who start fasting from Yud Zayin B'Mar Cheshvan for rain, even before the Beis Din declares a fast day on the Tzibur, so if their fast days happen to bump into Rosh Chodesh, or other Megillas Tainis holidays, so they don't have to fast. So in a somewhat similar model, let's say a person commits to fast every Monday and Thursday, the whole year. So if one of those days happened to be Rosh Chodesh or Chanukah and Purim, which even after Megillas Tainis is not binding anymore, but with respect to those, it is binding. So that's the discussion. According to Rashi, you don't have to make it up at all. And according to the Ri, that Yesh L'Achmir, that you should make it up on another day, presumably if you're committed to fast on all the Mondays and the Thursdays, so obviously you would have to make it up on another day other than Monday and Thursday.